Blog Talk Radio.
Philosophy Show. Today is February the 4th, 2016, and it is 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is episode number 124, and my name is Thomas, your host. You can check out our website here at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. You can also check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And today the episode is called United We Stand and Divided and Conquered They Fell, The Vicious Circle, and much more here in this half an hour show, same time every Wednesday night, Thursday morning. And it's a call-in show, so feel free to give a call-in or guest call-in number. It's area code 646-929-1344. And so, you know, a couple topics here I have on my mind. You know, supposedly the conquered sometimes, unless if they're not just beaten through brute strength or something or trickery, well, divided would be trickery, right? Are there, maybe they're divided amongst themselves and then they're conquered. But what if we could turn that around and, well, the silent majority, the people who believe in justice and freedom, the people who just want to be left alone, the majority here that have honest hearts and, you know, used that same tactic against the evils in this world. And sometimes maybe the tactic is the principle, so maybe you don't want to use the same tactic as someone, you know, you can't like fight fire with fire per se, right? You want to fight fire with water or something like that. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I'm also, just for some fun, going to think about what I think would be good, some good, fun campaign political ads this year. Like, I'm going to give a synopsis of what I think would be some fun, div, good campaign political ads, like 1 or 2 minute spots that I, you know, some could be a little funny, it could be very impactful, serious, but I'm going to talk about that a little bit too. And then I'm going to talk about the vicious circle. And what is the revolution? That is one way you could think about it. That's, I think, that Jesus Christ presented. So those are three things. Let me see if there's anything else. Okay, so those are our main three things today. And whatever you might have a call about, if you have a show idea, talk about anything from love to advice, life, events, science, the unknown, and your calls, and what's on your mind and heart. And so, you know, I'd like to hear it. All right, so first, you know, like what's something about United We Stand, Divided We Fall? Let me just give you one issue, and that's the justice system in the U.S. today. That goes from everything from the drug war, and it's just an example here, folks. You can think about many other things, the drug war to prison industry, the security industry, the law industry, the justice system, and what are the political panderings that Republican politicians usually give, like we're fighting crime, you know, we don't want to ruin our neighborhoods, and we're going to lock him up, three strikes, you're out, you know, going to rule with an iron fist, and, you know, protect society. Now, what is the status of that, the statistics? And you can look these up, folks. I am not exaggerating at all. And you might have heard it and thought it was an exaggeration, but it's not. It used to not be this way, but since about the 1980s and beyond, it is. We have the number one highest prison population in the entire world. And that's by numbers and also by percentile. And that's both, in both categories. So we have by far the highest number of the prison population than any place in the world, any other place at all. It's like that and the amount that we spend for our military, we beat in every other country in the world. Those are two things that we're winning, that we're number one in. How much we spend on the military each year and how many people we have in prison. Those are the two things that we beat everyone at. You know, also paying the highest healthcare costs is another thing. So there are some things that we are number one at, and probably the biggest budget deficit as far as our trade deals go. That's probably another plateau that we have achieved that everyone else is far behind in, whether those are accomplishments or not. But we have, and then what are the Democrats? And the Republicans accuse the Democrats of, you know, nurturing an environment of crime. Now, the Democrats have to act tough, so they're against the drug war, too. And, you know, it's kind of like prohibition. And so we have a society that's divided and conquered. And now that we're militarizing the police more, because all that war spending, that's the number one that we have, too, all that excess, like, equipment is going to our local police stations where we have like tanks, police stations with tanks, lots of police stations with SWAT gear, you know, sniper rifles, assault weapons, the complete arsenal, like full metal jacket, stormtrooper outfit in black, you know. And is that what you want? Is that the peace officer that, you know, you saw in the movies decades ago, like in Police Academy? Or are you looking at, like, you know, something that looks very ferocious and like it's at war? And so that's happening while our society's like bickering and divided and conquered over policies of what to do. And now people are getting together. And who benefits from this divide and conquer? I mean, you could say that, you know, some prison unions, some private prisons. Some private prisons pay lobbyists in Congress for stricter laws like three strikes, you're out. I mean, we do have the highest prison population, and I don't think that's just because we have the most evil people. It's we have some of the strictest laws and cruel and unusual punishments. You know, we're splitting families apart over, and we have the highest prison population, and most of those are nonviolent crimes, the people in there for, like, petty things. And we have lots of crazy things like asset forfeiture, where you're guilty until proven innocent, where they can take your property without any court dates. And so while we're bickering over, you know, who should be our leaders, Republicans or Democrats, so what happened underneath our noses is that, bam, we have the highest prison population and we have this kind of more militarized police force. Now, we are trying to, I see there's some starting to be, thankfully, a little bit of the beginnings of momentum of pushback against that, you know, by requiring police to wear body cameras, which is good for them and the people they interact with. So, you know, civilian oversight, independence, you know, internal affairs, very important. Not having quotas, I think, would be a good thing. You know, a lot of this pressure is probably quotas, and I know that police officers have quotas, or a lot of the departments do. I mean, there's been tapes that have been leaked of them having meetings with their supervisors. And now, you know, other companies like prescription drug companies or companies that wouldn't want certain drugs to be legal could be lobbying and campaigning against the war on drugs. And so we need a just system, something, a crime that meets, you know, some kind of just thing. I mean, if someone's not hurting anyone else, then I don't think they should be in jail for one day. So only if we should save it for people who are stealing from others and inflicting violence on others. That's what it should be there for, you know. And we should focus more on rehab so when they get out, they're better. And make sure prisoners have rights and lots of oversight, transparency, cameras everywhere. And have those cameras be public if anyone needs to see something at a certain time and date. So let me get into the real gist of it here. It's in no one's interest. Like nowadays, so what I'm trying to get to is the evolution of the situation. Now you're starting to see a coalition of Republicans and Democrats, both in the right and the left, both finding out that we need to reform our justice system. You know, it's costing taxpayers a lot of money, and you know, it's almost like bribery. And so they're dividing and conquering us, in a sense, or we're being divided and conquered, but together, all of us from all different groups can come together and agree that, you know, the time has to fit the crime. There needs to be transparency. We don't want anyone to be treated versus the due process, that we don't want anyone else to go through something that we wouldn't want to go through ourselves. And injustice for one is injustice for all, and we should demand that completely. And you know, I mean, what are the big groups that own this country? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the banks, we've given trillions of dollars to bailouts there. I mean, they're the ones who said, you know, that caused the 2008 recession, as they call it, that we still aren't completely over yet. And they're the ones who basically lend money to the government. I mean, so that's where they're at. And then you have the pharmaceutical industries, the healthcare insurance companies, who found it acceptable to be able to force citizens to buy their products. And then you have the military industrial complex. I mean, our military budget is huge. And, you know, you think there should be an audit of the Defense Department maybe to see if we're not wasting, because they found like trillions of dollars unaccounted for, trillions. And there's probably the energy sector, and there's probably lots of smaller little things, and then the media itself. So, but, you know, you can't just think of it as the 1% or the big business versus, you know, the people, because it's not really that way. Let's look at some issues here, like specific issues. Let's look at the issue of war, the Defense Department. Now, you think the Defense Department necessarily has a complete alliance or outlook or, you know, or interest in the same things as any other sector, like maybe Walmart or maybe pharmaceutical companies or maybe just your regular businesses? Maybe not, because they drain a lot of money out of the economy. And you can imagine if there wasn't a lot of waste and excess there, there could be more that's in the hands of everyone else. And so, no, it's not always in the other company's best interest to just have that one side of it so unbalanced, and in getting away and spying on them and things like that. And or the oil industry, what about all the other forms of energy? Is it a subsidy when we go to war in the Middle East about oil fields and such? And so what would the solar industry think about that, or other industries? What about the internet industry? And what about the businesses that thrive, that get their dollars from the people, from people buying their products? Because there are some industries that people don't buy anything except through our taxes and our budget each year. There's some businesses that don't really need to advertise. They don't really need to, you know, have a website. They don't need to advertise at all. They don't depend on selling, buying and selling, basically. They just get a lobbyist, and they sell completely to government for government contracts. And that's what they do. So, you know, they might have a sales force or a lobby team that, you know, pitches to the government. And so all of those companies, yes, they might have a certain interest and a certain similar interest, but there's a larger group out there that makes money dependent on money that comes from the consumers in a democratic free market where people vote on the products. And all those companies, and there's lots of them and a lot of big name companies, and some companies get some money from the government and some more from people, but they really need to think about it. Like, what would save them money and make them more competitive in the marketplace? They're not the ones that are at the top of the pyramid getting all the nice contracts. Not only are they possibly, you know, paying for their own demise by giving money right to their competition, but they are, you know, lessening the pool of available funds that they could be selling to people. I mean, in a healthy economy, a lot of businesses are booming and thriving, and they have more than what they can deal with. They have more orders coming in than they can barely handle. And wouldn't most businesses like to be in that position? A lot of small, mid-sized, and larger U.S. corporations. What would help them out? That's what we should think about. And what would help the atmosphere for a thriving economy? It would be having the people have more money that can spend in a thriving economy where things were booming and going in that momentum. And so the less government contracts you have and no-bid special contracts and bribery from lobbyists and people working with super PACs and, you know, all of that, then there's going to be more money in the free economy. And now, I'm not talking about trickle-down economics and stuff, but I'm just talking about something in this situation here that so far makes sense to everyone, right? And I haven't crossed the line anywhere here, right? I mean, that sounds pretty much correct, wouldn't it? And so those companies should have a coalition and be on our side. So you don't have to think of, like, every business being against you. In fact, most companies, I think, would want that. What else could possibly help a company? Now, I think a total free market could. I do think we could have a U.S. public bank, even getting rid of a lot of programs, and it would be a lot less paperwork and red tape with a minimal guaranteed annual income. But that might be, you know, some time away. But I do think it's legitimate, and it makes a lot more sense. Milton Friedman pretty much supported something like that as well, because you would save a lot of red tape, and it would just be more efficient and be more free market. Instead of directing people how to spend the money, they would just get a certain amount, and then that's even less influence. It's a step right before no one getting any money, but they're getting direct money, and then they can buy their own insurance or housing or food, etc. I think that would be a good thing, and you can have competing currencies, so you could have the public government option and everything be voluntary, but we still have this government standard. That's the way forward. That's in the future once we mature to that point, where we have a public option and a private option, a voluntary system of both. And if you had an honest public option, I think it would be viable and very competitive, and most people would interact within it. But we still will have, you know, and the economy will be a mixed economy. It'll have a little bit of different sectors, and it'll be very thriving and booming, and people will have this guaranteed annual income, and there won't be, you know, hardly as much bribery at all. And I do think we need public support funds for a campaigning, you know, if you get enough signatures to be on the ballot where you have a statistical chance to win, you should get campaign financing. But that's, or an equal platform, like have a election channel where everyone gets equal time on it, and have at least a certain amount of debates where everyone gets equal time. Not that there can be any third party events, but some main sponsored events that have all the players in it. And so now from another point of view, you could say, what if we did have a public health insurance, a Medicare for all? Would that help or hurt businesses? I guess it depends which businesses, but it could help a lot of businesses. Of course, the health insurance companies wouldn't want to undo Obamacare, but the next step would be Medicare for all, and I think it would be better than what we have. I mean, and I think it should be voluntary. You shouldn't have to buy into it if you don't want to, but I think we should be able to offer a public option to everyone, and with a progressive tax system on that for Social Security and Medicare. And but again, if we had a guaranteed annual income, we could get rid of both of those and just have this guaranteed annual income. But I still think, I pointed on two other subjects. And so that's, we don't have to be just divided and conquered. What I'm saying is there's a number of issues from the justice system to cronyism to bribery in the system where we can support honest people and organizations and ideas. And they can be divided and conquered, instead. And, so not every oil company has the same interests as every other kind of big conglomerates, and not even every the same kind of company. Some oil companies might have different interests than other ones, and that's just one example. But so I did mention maybe the revolution of what Jesus Christ was, is to break the vicious circle, and also, to defeat death in a sense. A very ironic kind of thing where in order to beat death, you are not afraid to die. And so just want to touch on this for a little bit. When I think about the real revolution that Christ was trying to bring into the world, what Christ represents is, stopping the vicious circle of blaming who started what. Just taking responsibility for, I'm going to be the one who ends it, so you break that vicious circle. And by doing that, you become the better person. You forgive. You turn the other cheek. You do the opposite of what your just base reaction is, which is to the vicious circle. And maybe that example will inspire others. And, you're sacrificing yourself now for the betterment of the future. You're not going to be part of that vicious circle, because when, you get back at others, they're just going to get back at you. You're going to get back at them. And you just have this chain reaction that keeps turning, churning. I mean, that's in a nutshell, and that's kind of my own words, but there's even a deeper principle to that, which I'm sure you can imagine. It's not just going on instinct alone of survival or self defense, but looking at a bigger self defense of the species as a whole, so we do break this vicious circle. And I guess being your brother's keeper in a sense, and by doing that, you're also standing by those principles of love. And it's just a way to look at it, just a little slice of the equation there, and something interesting. I mean, instead of just being a machine, a robot, a biological robot that is just, fight or flight, you're thinking about something and looking at the long-term consequences and just realizing, you know, how much it matters in this short life to make that kind of an impact. And, you know, so being aware and conscious and acting on that consciousness. And now I did say I would think about a couple of campaign ads for this season. And I was thinking specifically today, what would be a good Bernie Sanders political ad? What I'm thinking here is, like, the first minute, it starts out with Hillary Clinton, and there's a quote she said very recently, and you can look it up, and she goes, you know, anyone who thinks they can buy me doesn't know me, or something like that, you know, like, I can't be bought. Now, there's an old king of England who said something like that. It was, like, around the time, I think, the Magna Carta was written, and he said, you know, anyone who thinks they can influence me doesn't know me, and almost exact same quotes, and that's why they started creating these reform laws about influence and, you know, revolving doors and, you know, a lot of times the same standards that a judge would have to step down because of their conflict of interest, politicians don't nearly go by the same requirements. I mean, bribery is the deal. What Bernie Sanders said after that Hillary Clinton quote, which she's quoted on a couple places as saying, she said it like three or four times. And one time he questioned her on that, and she goes, how dare you question my integrity? You know, he should have came back and said, I think, how dare you question the integrity of the American people who have to believe that you're not going to be influenced? You know, let's just say between her Clinton Foundation, which a lot of money gets funneled through there, you know, a lot of, and not just them, a lot of politicians have these foundations and charitable organizations which they can hire themselves and get paid as a director or something, or their family members. But there's a lot of revolving doors between Congress and big industries they regulate, like Monsanto and pharmaceuticals and this and that. That's another way, or they get nice cushiony jobs after, and supposedly there's a law where they can't for 2 years become a lobbyist after they retire from Congress. A lot of them also get trips and stuff like that. A lot of them, their spouses work for a place. A lot of them do insider trading with stocks. A lot of them, political action committees. And a lot of them, here's a new trend that's been going around for about 20 years or so, or more, I guess, is they give speeches. You know, in just the last 2 years alone, Hillary Clinton's made tens of millions of dollars in speeches. Like, she might give a 2-hour speech, and Goldman Sachs paid her over $600,000 for one speech. In the last 2 years, she's made, I think, about $10 million in speeches, an average of $250,000 each speech to pharmaceuticals, to banks. And she says, no, if anyone thinks they can buy me, this is just the last 2 years. In like the last 10 years, I think the Clintons have accumulated over $200 million. And this goes right to their pocket. They can use it for whatever they want. I got about a minute and a half. But, I mean, you know, and Bernie Sanders should say, like, you know, Trump is right about getting ripped off in trade deals. And you know why we're getting ripped off? Is it maybe because our Congress is being bribed? He should say, we're going to fight bribery. You know, if you get a political speech from a company, it's just like being employed by them. You're making more in one speech than some people, most people do in their entire lifetime. And I'm going to make that illegal. You know, you can't get a speech, be paid for speeches for like 5 years or something. But anyways, that's the show today. We got less than a minute. It's been the Philosophy Show. Feel free to give a call if you got some ideas. We'll be here next Wednesday. And all right, so take care.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.